This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov, welcome back. Welcome back perhaps to the sane side. I don't know if that's how you feel.
Sure.
But good to have you back, and there's a lot to talk about. And just little snippets coming out from the hostages and what they're saying about some of the things that they had to experience. Eli Sharabi's brother Sharon had made some public comments about some of the things that Eli went through. Let's bear in mind that Eli came back to discover that his wife and two children were killed after he was kidnapped. He had no idea that that was what was waiting for him when he came home. Not only that, but his brother Yossi, who was his next door neighbor in Kibbutz Be'eri and who was also kidnapped into Gaza, has been killed in Gaza, and his body is being kept by Hamas in Gaza. So this is what Eli Sharabi came back to. And we understand that he, as opposed to some of the other hostages, was given absolutely no access to the outside world while he was in captivity, 491 days, no access to outside information at all. He had no idea about the battle to try to release him. He had little knowledge of exactly what was going on in the war. He hardly saw daylight because he was being kept in tunnels underground. He had very little to eat, and he was being humiliated and kept in inhumane conditions. And this is what he returned to tell people about. And his brother Sharon, it was very, very emotional when he came to the hospital after being released on Saturday. His brother Sharon was waiting in the hospital for him to arrive with a talit, a prayer shawl on, wearing his talit. And as Eli approached him with their mother, who had met him at their Rim military base outside Gaza, as they approached, he took his prayer shawl and he covered their heads together, and he just hugged him with everything that he had inside. That bear hug just had so much emotion and so much message. And now when we hear about some of the things that Eli has been through, it's just absolutely insane to think that a person could survive 491 days under those circumstances and those conditions. And Sharon says that really when Eli was released, it was kind of last chance saloon. He was honestly on the verge of not being able to survive any longer. It was almost like the last possible opportunity to get him out alive. And so obviously we're very grateful that he's come home alive and will be recovering in hospital and recovering from the emotional scars that he has to bear, because he's got a lot to process.
How do they ever recover from this? Physically, yeah, of course. Slowly they will, please God, be nursed back to health. But to be there and tormented emotionally, to come back to find that your wife and daughter have been murdered, it's hard to imagine taking the next step.
It's insane.
It
really
impossible.
Is. And of course now the family continues their battle to have their brother Yossi's body returned from Gaza. That's kind of the next thing on their agenda now, is to continue to fight for his body to be returned.
It's inconceivable. When I saw the images on Saturday evening after Shabbat, I have to say it took me down. It really broke me to see what kind of a state these guys were in, and knowing what they still had to endure in terms of knowledge about the incident and who had been murdered. It's very, very hard to process, I have to say.
It's very tough for all of us, and I think as a nation we felt deflated, if that's if that's an appropriate term. I think deflated is probably an understatement. Very, very much down and shocked at the images that we saw from the returning hostages. And we don't really know how to process it, because on the one hand we feel joy that they've come home alive, walking, barely, but still walking. On the other hand, you can't miss the image that's in front of you and see people who've lost a third of their body weight and people who've got those dark eyes that signal the torture and the torment that they have been through up until now, without even considering what they need to go through from now on in terms of taking into consideration and to processing all of the things that have happened in the new reality that they've come back to.
Absolutely appalling. Let's just talk about the difficulty at the moment. The Prime Minister Netanyahu has announced that intense fighting will resume if hostages are not returned by Saturday. What does this all mean? How is this being understood?
Well, it's interesting that President Trump, the day before yesterday, made the comment that he would cause all hell to break loose if he was in the situation where the hostages are not all released by Saturday. And he actually made a demand that all the hostages should be released by Saturday at noon. But when he talked about the all hell breaking loose, he was really deferring that to essentially to Israel to cause all hell to break loose, because even though he thinks that all hell should break loose, he wasn't assuming the responsibility for making sure that that happens. And so it was interesting that yesterday, after the security cabinet met to discuss the current status of things, the prime minister made a statement saying that that there will be intense fighting. Those were his words. There will be intense fighting if the hostages are not released on Saturday or by Saturday. Mm. And when he made the comment about hostages being released, he didn't use the word all. He said intense fighting will resume in Gaza if the hostages are not released by Saturday. And he was very, very cautious not to demand all of the hostages being released. Now, that, of course, comes against the backdrop of Hamas threatening not to release any hostages on Saturday, as was part of the original plan, due to infractions that they claim have been made by Israel on the agreement. And their claims are quite peripheral in terms of how much aid has been allowed into Gaza or not been allowed into Gaza, and some of the delays that were experienced in the release of the prisoners. And so as a result of that, they're claiming that this justifies them saying that Israel has not stood by the terms of the agreement, and therefore they will not release hostage on Saturday. Now, I think that if no hostages are released on Saturday, then it's kind of a no-brainer that there will need to be a response. And the army has been put on full alert and reserve soldiers have been called up. And we understand that Hamas have instructed their fighters in Gaza to stop using their phones and to take cover, because there is a certain expectation that fighting may well resume on Saturday. I think the real question that's being asked is, what happens if three hostages are released on Saturday, as was envisaged in the original plan? Does that satisfy Netanyahu's requirement that hostages be released by Saturday to avoid the intense fighting? And therein lies the lack of understanding or the lack of coordination, because there are some members of the Israeli government who are saying that when the prime minister said intense fighting will resume on Saturday if hostages are not released, he meant all hostages. And of course, that's inferring from the President Trump's statement that all hostages should be released. He was quite clear, by the way, that he demanded that all hostages should be released. The problem with all of this are is the fact that we still have hostages in Gaza, and that even if we are only getting them three at a time, it's still three lives that are being saved every time we receive hostages, even though we understand that whoever gets left behind runs the risk of not being able to survive until their release date is actually set. And so, of course, the hostage families are saying with full justification, don't dare do anything that could potentially interrupt the release of some hostages on Saturday, because those some hostages may well be members of their family, but in any event, there will be lives that will be saved. And we understand that something like 7 or 8 brand new signs of life have been received over the past few days from information that we've received from the released hostages and from other intelligence that has been gained. So we do understand that there are lives to be saved in Gaza. It's not a question of, well, as far as we're concerned, everybody else who's left there is now dead, and therefore there is not much that we can really save or that we can really work towards trying to rescue. There are apparently live hostages still in Gaza, and if 3 of them are released on Saturday, the question is being asked as to whether that's enough to continue the ceasefire.
Can I just ask you, because I'm not clear, what is the, in terms of the deal, are 3 meant, is it only the 3 meant to be released on Saturday? What is meant to happen? Right.
According to the deal, over the course of 6 weeks, there is obviously going to be once a week, 3 hostages released each time. In total at the moment, we're still expecting another 17 hostages. So I'm not quite sure how exactly that divides up in terms of the numbers. And the in this particular phase, in the first 6 week phase of the deal. And we do know that some of those hostages, I think there were 33 names all in all that were put on the list for the initial phase. We know that some of them are not alive. So we've now received quite a number who have been alive, and we understand that there are still quite a number who are alive and who could potentially be released alive. But we also know that some of those on the list of the initial phase of the first phase are no longer alive. But there are supposed to be, as far as I understand, 3 hostages released on Saturday. So I think that we're all now gearing ourselves up to understand, first of all, whether Hamas are going to do as they have committed, which is to release their names on Friday and to release the hostages on Saturday. And if assuming that they do that, what will be the response? Because Trump has certainly upped the ante by demanding the release of all the hostages. And I suspect that that's not just a shot from the hip. I think that this has all been well thought through. And I think that the idea is to somehow try to regain control from Hamas, because one of the things that has become obvious over the past few weeks as we've watched these release ceremonies that have been conducted in Gaza is that Hamas have been showing force in massive numbers and in a very, very coordinated and choreographed way in order to try to reestablish their control and their to grab back the narrative so that they can control things from their side. And I think that what Trump is trying to do, probably with the coordination of Prime Minister Netanyahu, is to somehow grab back the narrative and grab back the control in order to dictate to Hamas rather than to allow them to dictate to us. And I think therein lies some of the plan behind this demand, this change of situation, and saying, forget about the next few sessions, the next few weeks when a few hostages are supposed to be released at a time. Let's change things around. Let's grab control. Let's see what Hamas do. Let's see what their reaction is. We need somehow to regain certain influence and control over the situation, because week by week, Hamas has managed to strengthen themselves and to somehow regain the control over all the events that are happening right now.
So this is, and when do we hope, or when is there this expected to be resolved? Is it expected that Hamas will come back and say, okay, fine, we will release? What is the next step here?
Well, Hamas sort of pedaled back on their original statement saying they weren't going to release the hostages. And they, with the moment President Trump said, release all the hostages, all hell will break loose, Hamas pedaled back and said, if Israel abides by its part of the agreement, then they will abide by their side as well. So instead of accusing Israel of already committed these infringements of the agreement, they kind of backpedaled on this and they said, if Israel continues, then they will to do that too. So it seems as if they somewhat regretted coming out and announcing that the hostages won't be released on Saturday. But I think that we're all in kind of no man's land at the moment. Nobody really knows what will happen next. It's clear that the IDF has been put back on much, much higher alert than was the case a few days ago. As I said before, reservists have been called up and people are ready to go back into Gaza. So we will just have to see day by day how things pan out until Saturday. And indeed, if the hostages are released on Saturday, what happens next?
We didn't speak about King Abdullah, but we can hold that over until tomorrow. Anthony Reich, thank you. As always, we'll speak to you tomorrow morning, 7:45, for the Israel Report.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.